faith's going to be tested. When Jesus died on the cross, he rose again and he appeared to his disciples in John chapter 20. And they receive him and they're so thrilled. Now, Thomas is not with them. Peter is, but they're so thrilled they receive the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus, and they said, "We believe." And he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, John 20. And then in verse 29, he says these words, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." He said, "You guys see me. You handle me. You know I'm risen from the dead. You know I'm flesh and bone. You know I am. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and handle me that believe." Now that's us. We haven't laid our hands on the Lord Jesus, but we believe, we know that he rose from the dead. We know he's alive forever. We feel him in our hearts because the Holy Ghost is here in us. I can't touch him like I can this pulpit or hold this microphone, but it's better than that because he's here. And I know that. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who won't fall in the second mile. Blessed are those who won't give up in the second watch. Blessed are those who won't quit." Jesus didn't. So we see in this first part of the message, we see that our Lord Jesus experienced everything you experience. The towel. Throw the water bottle out. Get rid of it. Young people are being pressured and pushed and pushed. Some that was right in this church and others that's in our sister churches that grew up knowing the truth and grew up understanding, at least we thought, understanding the truth. And now Satan taking them through some second miles and they're just throwing it away. But there's a solution. Here's what I want to leave you with. There's a solution. And can I say, I called it a preparation to continue on in the second mile and finish. Continue on in the second mile and finish. Sometimes, I remember one time I was preparing for the half marathon and I got on a new pair of shoes to wear and I wasn't running in cowboy boots. Probably some of you thought that's what preacher runs in. I would have, but they don't do too good out there running, I'm telling you right now. So I was running and I had on a new pair of shoes and I was so determined I was going to finish whatever I had planned that day, 7 miles, I believe it was. I'm going to finish this 7 miles. And even though I started feeling a little discomfort, you know, in one of my toes, I thought, go on. And I just kept pushing and kept pushing. I did. I finished 7 miles, got back to the car, and I started pulling my shoes off. When I pulled my sock off, it was full of blood. Something had rubbed on one of my toes, and it was screaming, telling me, you know, "Hey, dummy, quit. Hey, dummy, quit." And I said, "No, dummy, I'm not quitting. I'm moving on. I'm still going." So there's... Now, did I make that mistake the next time? No. I fixed the shoes the next time. I didn't do that same mistake. I wore a different pair of socks and fixed the shoe, and I didn't have no more bleeding feet from that. What I'm saying is what I'm going to give you right now is the solution and the preparations that we can make to continue on the second mile. Here it is. Three things real quick. Number one, and all, by the way, all three of these men, all three of them, and I could have picked out a lot more men and women in the Bible, but all three of these made it the second mile and the second watch because they did three things. And here it is. Number one, they refocused on the greatness of their God. They're in the second watch. It's dark. There's no sunrise to see coming up over the mountains. There's no sunset to enjoy where they've just left. It's just dark. There's no, "Hey, I'm not at the end of the journey. It's a long ways out there. It's a long ways back there. Wow, this second mile stuff. But they refocused on the greatness of God. Take Job, for instance. I'll just give you scripture references. Job chapter 38 through 41. Job was in that dark time. Boy, it was a second mile for Job. It really was. He was in that second watch. And his dear sweet wife had watched him suffer. She had buried those babies, 10 graves. And here's Job. He's probably got leprosy, they think, some form of it. And he's about to, he just won't quit. And his wife says, Job, don't you see? God's done, son. Curse God and die. Now, when we hear that statement, as our Bible says, we think, boy, she's telling him, you know, cuss God out and really shake your fist in his face. That's not what he means at all. That very phrase, curse God and die, means, it really means simply this. Tell God you're through. Just tell him you're through. You can't take anymore. Tell him you're through. That's what she said. That's probably her feeling is, I don't know, Job. I don't think I can go through this. And then, in chapters 38 through 41, God shows up. And God says, hey, Job, where were you when I formed everything? And for those four chapters there, or three chapters, 38 through 41, he tells Job how great he is and who he is. And he hung the morning stars out there and they sang together. And God, he said, I've done all this, Job. And Job, he refocuses on who God is. And boy, that refocusing gives him the courage and the strength to go on. And that's what we need to know today. You need to realize and refocus on how great your God is. He wins all the time. He wins. He wins. He wins. And when you're with him, you're a winner. You're a winner no matter what others may say. You're a winner. We've already won. Hallelujah. Job did that. Peter, old Peter, so much like me and like you, had all the failures. He denied the Lord. And then Peter, even after he had denied Jesus, and it was on that night, and Peter's, his mind's all mixed up, and he's thinking, what on earth's going on? Jesus, why'd you let him take him? I was going to fight that guy. I think, as Brother Josh said the other day when he was preaching on the miracle, I think Peter was taking a swipe at Judas when he pulled that sword out when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think he was going to cut Judas's head off. And he cut the high servant's ear off. And the Lord healed that ear, picked it up, put it on there, and as good as new, plastic surgeon all done. Everything's finished. Completely finished. And getting ready to fight, Peter was. Jesus said, put your sword up, son. Got to do this a different way. Peter's going, huh? What do I do? Then they take Jesus, and Peter follows, and he can't believe it. He keeps following and following. Surely in a moment, Peter's going to turn, or Jesus is going to turn around and say, okay, Peter, it's time. Jump him. There's a few thousand soldiers there, but if you got Jesus, you can handle a few thousand soldiers. You talk about ninja warrior, honey. With Jesus on your side, you can ninja warrior. I don't care how many you got out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, ninja warrior? They still do that on TV? Okay. So, Peter's don't understand. And he denies that third time, and immediately, the Bible says, Luke records this for us, 22 and verse 61. Luke says that Jesus turned and looked at him. Did that make a difference? You better believe it. Job refocused on the greatness of God. God showed up and told him who he was. Showed him who he was more and more. Peter, that look of Jesus. You say, boy, it must have been horrible to have Jesus look at you. Well, yes and no. Because it was a look of disappointment, but it was also a look of, I love you, Peter. I told you. I warned you. And Peter, you're still mine. I wonder if he did that. I wonder if Jesus looked at him and winked and you're still mine. Oh, Peter, whatever it was, he refocused on Jesus and he went out, and the Bible says he wept bitterly. And he repented. Then there's old Jonah. Now there's that other fellow, old Jonah. Chapter 2, verse number 8. Jonah's in the belly of the whale. And he finally says, oh, Lord. Verse 8, I think, is the turning point. In his statement that he makes there, that he says, they forsake their own mercy. You forsake the very mercy that's available to you when you listen to lying vanities. What does that mean? That means you've been listening to the wrong person. You've been listening to the devil's lies. And you've listened to that to where you're forsaken. You've turned away from the very mercy that's yours. The very mercy that God's got for you. You've turned away from that and you listen to the lies of the devil. And old Jonah comes to that place. Read it in Jonah 2 and verse 8. And he says, oh, yeah, I've listened to the wrong voices. Hallelujah. So, all three of these folks, they refocused on the greatness of God. Don't ever forget that. That's what you and I need today. We need to see our Lord Jesus high and exalted, high and lifted up. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord, 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 Lord of all. That's our lovely Lord. Hallelujah. Many a time in here, sometimes when the auditorium's dark, I'm down here by myself. I'll walk around this auditorium and I'll sing that song. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, which means Satan too, and all the demons of hell have to fall. We're going to bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. That's our lovely Lord. They refocused on the greatness of God. Job did. Peter did. Jonah did. Secondly, repentance. Repentance. What's repentance? It's simply agreeing with God about your situation, about who you are, about what's going on. It's just being honest with God. That's repentance. When Job saw the greatness of God in chapter 42, the Bible says Job said, Lord, I repent. In dust and ashes, I do. Lord, I do. I do. And old Job was a good man. God said he was a good man. And God started the contest. Good man. But repentance. Peter, same thing. He went out. He wept bitterly. He knew that he'd blew it. But he knew that Jesus still loved him. And he knew that his Lord had already warned him. So, there's repentance in Peter, there's repentance in Job, and then Jonah. Chapter 2, verse number 9, after he makes that statement in verse 8, they forsake mercy when they follow these lying vanities of these things, these empty thoughts that Satan has shot in your mind. Then he gets to verse 9, and you know what he says? Salvation's of the Lord. Yeehaw, hallelujah. Here I am in the belly of the whale, gastric juices all around you, slimy and dark. Ooh. And that's where he is. And all that's running all over him. And he says, hey, glory to God, salvation is of the Lord. And the old fish couldn't stand that, and he vomited him out. He got an upset stomach, threw him out on the shore. Here comes Jonah, and I'll tell you something. There's repentance in this old prophet. So, Job refocused and repented. Peter refocused and repented. Jonah refocused and repented. And that's exactly what you and I need to do today. We got to focus on the greatness of our God. He is King. He is Lord. We need to own up to where we are and what's going on. Lord, I've been slack. I've been lackadaisical. I've not read my Bible. I've not prayed. You've been on the back burner. Everybody else is on the top burner here. You're under there somewhere if I can get to you like a lifesaver. But Lord, we need to be honest with him, and brings him in my third point. After you've refocused, after you have repented, then you rejoin the group. You rejoice and you get in the journey again. Hey, you're not going back. You only can go there. Now, you can stop along the way, and pull off to the side of the road and eat sardines and drink buttermilk till it all runs out. And then what? Hey, it's too far to go back and you can't get there. You got to go forward. What do, preacher? You rejoin the race. You get right in there with it. All three of these men did the same thing. Job, he prayed for his friends in chapter 42. And when he prayed for his friends and the help of his family, he started all over again. And God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. So you see, he rejoined the group. He rejoined, can we say, living again. And God said, now, Job, I got plans. You're still in my plans. And with the help, he started again. That's what the church is here for. Peter, same way. Peter, yes, he denied the Lord. Yes, he wept bitterly. Yes, the Lord looked at him and let him know, I love you, son. I told you. But, and Peter, what did he do? Did he go out and hang himself like Judas? No. Did he quit and say, boy, I'm never going to be around them boys again, man. I really, really blew it. I'm never going to be around them. I'm the oldest one. They all look to me. I was the oldest one. They're looking to me. I'm not going back. No. According to 1 Peter 5:1, Peter was at the cross. 1 Peter 5:1 says he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. John was at the cross. John witnessed it because Jesus said to John, take my mother and get her out of here. And Peter was there watching. So Peter, no, he rejoined. He said, hey, I repent. I failed. I messed up. I see the greatness of my Lord. I'm right back here at the cross. I'm here with him. And I'm going to be with him. Pastor Josh preached a great message out of John 21 here. And the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You love me? Feed my sheep. You love me? Feed my sheep. Peter says, yes, Lord, I do love you. He said, good, Peter. You'll be all right. Feed my sheep. So they rejoined. Job rejoined. Got right in again. Had 10 more youngins, prettier than the first 10. Isn't that something? 10 more, most beautiful folks in the country. And now Mrs. Job, think about that. Buddy, she had 20 youngins. What do you think about that, girls? And then, look at Jonah. What'd he do? Same thing. Boy, quick as that fish vomited him out on shore, he washed the slime off his face, son, and he jumped up and started running to Nineveh. And hey, I'm getting back in what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Some of you are in a second mile. Some of you are in a second mile. Churches are in a second mile. I'm tired. I can't move on. I can't go back. What do I do? Some of you are in a second watch where I don't see the sunrise yet. The sun sets past. It's just dark. You need to refocus on Jesus. See how great your Lord is. You need to repent and just say, God, I agree with you. What that word has said today, and it said to me, and it said to you, what that word has said, I believe it, and I agree with you. And now, Lord, I'm going to rejoin. I'm going to rejoin. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to get right in the journey. I'm on it. I'm not going back. I'm not going to stand still. I'm moving on for God. That's where I am. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Where are you today? You've been patient with me. Thank you. I had to develop this. The Lord had to develop this thought through me. And I gave you scripture references. Didn't have time to turn to a lot. But understand this, church. God sends us these very thoughts here. As I said, some of these truths, some of them, not all of them, some of these truths touched my heart a number of years ago. But then, now I've traveled long enough in second mile experiences to see that Me, as a pastor, as a preacher, I've got to always refocus and understand how great my God is and who I'm serving. I always have to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for having such a small faith in the greatness of my God. And then I rejoin and rejoice and say, hallelujah, I'm going on. I'm moving on. I've got a great God. Now, her altar call is going to be something like this. If you feel like that God has described you today in the message and your situation, why don't you can use this altar right here, right now. Come on down. You can use your pew, but it might help you to use the altar. It really might. It might help you to just say, hey, I'm rejoining. Man, I'm getting back. Some folks are already here. Others are coming. You, like I said, but you do what God tells you. I'm not going to play the Holy Spirit. But let's stand to our feet. Father, help us today while they sing this invitation hymn. Help us today. Oh, God, I bow myself, dear Lord. Forgive me for losing my focus. Forgive me, Father, for not staying fully confident of how great my God is. And then, Lord, I repent in my own heart. As Jonah said, Lord, listening to the lies of the devil, listening, God, we forsake our own mercies. Oh, no, no, no more. And then, Father, with every bit of enthusiasm that I have, we'll rejoin the work and the vision and the ministry that you're doing. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us today, helping your people. Thank you, my Lord. How good you are. How wonderful you are. That's our lovely Lord, church. While I'm waiting. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Everyone, you got peace in your heart when you leave here. And anyone that, you know, the doors of the church, I don't say this often enough, but they're always open as far as those that like to come as candidate for membership. Their doors are open. Any service, any and all of our services, then we'd love to have you. Believe, you know, we'll take you through what we believe and all. But if you'd like to come as a candidate, any of our services, by all means, all you got to do is just come down and we will take it from there, all right? I love you. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, 5 o'clock this afternoon, we'll be right back. Thank you for being patient with me today. Thank you for just being here. Praise God. I love you.
Choir practice.
Choir practice at 4. Yes, 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 yes. Choir practice at 4. We need you.